teams will take points of each other. It's as simple as this. You would say that Germany are the outstanding team in the group, but it doesn't mean that you can't go in there without a chance in the game. We play at home, we'll just give it everything we've got. We've got talent in the group. There's talent, and there's plenty of spirit as well, too.
You know, everyone keeps saying we're going to be up against some good teams, but we're a good team. So, no. Roll on September, we'll be ready.
We say zdravo to our Serbian guests tomorrow night as the Easterners come to the Aviva Stadium. Two board draws was on the menu the last few times Ireland played them, but perhaps Martin and Roy will have something more tasty on the menu this week. Another relatively new football nation is Montenegro, and I think it's fair to say that Montenegrin football is on the up. Tala Stadium hosts a must-win game for our under-21s as King's Charges hopes lie in the qualification action. This is the Why Big Football Show on Freak FM. That's FRQ.FM. We're here every Tuesday night at 10 p.m. and I'm Dave O'Grady. If you'd like to get involved with the show, you can hit me a mail to dave@talkingsport.org. That's dave@talkingsport.org, and follow Talking Sport Org on Twitter and on Facebook. We'll also got League of Ireland action, and we'll have a lot more about Ireland's potential qualifiers and under-21s and all sorts of things involving the Irish team. Well, let's kick things off with the FAI Awards. The usual suspects were in attendance with a few extras such as Stankovic and Roy Keane. I'm delighted to be joined once again on the show by Trevor Keane of Sports News Ireland. Trevor, thanks a million for joining us again.
No problem, thank you.
And making his debut on the show, a terrific writer from a website, coibig.ie, that's coibig.ie, another good Irish site. It's Graham Jago. Graham, thanks a million for joining us.
Thanks very much for having me.
I want to talk, lads, about the FAI Awards that we've seen the other day. It was the usual stuff, Trevor, I think it's fair to say, but it's something that gets all Irish fans kind of excited, and particularly journalists and media people, depending on who kind of wins the awards. The Senior International Player of the Year went to Robbie Keane of LA Galaxy. A memorable video that was done with himself and Bruce Arena, the death stare by Bruce Arena, was quite remarkable, really. Deserving of the award?
Well, I think Bruce Arena should have got an award. Any man that doesn't blink for that long on camera deserves something. But I mean, Keane had I think he showed his importance. I know he's probably, you know, we should be looking at younger strikers, and it's been mentioned before. But I mean, he's still the deadliest finisher we got. And I suppose, you know, when you look at the goals he scored in qualifying, it kind of just it edges him a bit ahead of, you know, David Ford and Coleman. I mean, I think if it was 12 months on. And I'm pretty sure this time next year we'll be talking about Seamus Coleman as the, you know, as the FAI, you know, Senior Player of the Year. But I think for now it was more of a breakthrough year for Coleman, whereas Keane kind of just showed he was an old hand. And I'm going to imagine that David Ford got in there on the back of that game against Germany.
Indeed, Graham, to come to yourself, Robbie Keane, he scored a couple of nice goals throughout the year, particularly the game against the Faroe Islands. It was a very good performance by Robbie. It was a little bit tricky in the harder matches against the likes of Georgia and Austria, but he also got a goal against Sweden, and I think he proved a real point that by no means is he done with this Irish team.
That's it, because you get a lot of people in the media who write him off saying that he can't score against big teams, and he has proven that. He is a top goal scorer by a long while, and I think Ireland need him over this qualifying campaign.
Do you think?
I think he proved the score.
Yeah, I was going to say, do you think, would you go along with Trevor, the fact that maybe Seamus Coleman's season, it was a little bit too soon because he was really just developing, and maybe it'll be something like next year we could see the likes of Seamus Coleman get that award?
Oh, definitely. The way Seamus Coleman has started in the Premiership this season, and he's all the big clubs looking after him, and I think everyone has put a $25 million price tag on his head to show how valuable he is to the team.
And Robbie Keane, I assume you've seen the fantastic little bit of humour that they showed with Bruce Arena walking off from the interview in a pair of, I think it was a pair of nice shorts, going out for a nice little swim. But one of the things that a lot of Irish fans and a lot of media question is the fact that he is playing in the MLS. The standard is not the same. You have a kind of a combination of up-and-coming players and players that are going for the lifestyle as well. So players maybe towards the end of their career. Would the fact that playing in the MLS worry you about that? Because from a positive note, he does seem to be getting looked after very, very well, and that's key for Ireland.
Almost definitely. Like, people say it's a lower standard league, but he's looking after himself. He seems to keep himself fairly fit. He's scoring goals. The club, the Galaxy, treat him very well for coming out for an international game. So I think that style of league suits him. He's not going to be running constantly for 90 minutes. His job is to put the ball in the back of the net at the end of the day. So I think the league really suits him.
Trevor, is it a little bit playing devil's advocate to suggest that the reason they might have given him the award was because perhaps they knew it would be the last time he would be sitting in that chair for an award, or at least being in contention for an FAI award, considering the age he is and with up-and-coming strikers the likes of Shane Long?
I think Keane got the award on merit this time around. I mean, it's... you know, that's definitely devil's advocate stuff. You know, he's he had a very good season. I mean, he scored goals when we needed them, and he kind of, you know, he led the line and showed his importance. And I think that's probably, you know, that he's just showed he's still vital to Ireland. And I mean, just on the MLS point, I think it's great for him that he's out there, because, you know, it's a 20-game season compared to even, you know, a 38 without the demands of Europe and, you know, cups in England. So, I mean, straight away, it's half the pressure on him. So, you know, he's 33 going on 34. I mean, so, you know, it's definitely Ireland's benefit to have him. And I mean, it's, you know, it's still a league that has, you know, Thierry Henry, it has Tim Cahill, it has Landon Donovan. So, I mean, it's, you know, there's a good mix of players there that he still feels challenged. And, you know, once a player is scoring goals, you know, I mean, it can be, we've seen championship players making the step up to international level. So Keane, he's done it all in the Premier League. So, I mean, he's still scoring goals, which gives him confidence, and he carries that through to Ireland. So to answer your question, I think he deserved the award, to be honest with you.
Yeah, fantastic stuff. Delighted to hear you say that. Onwards and upwards, and keep it going for Robbie Keane, Irish captain. Well, we'll see if he's Irish captain going forward. It might be interesting to see if Martin O'Neill shakes it up a little bit, but fantastic reward, well deserved. Senior Women's International Player of the Year was Louise Quinn from Eskilstuna United in Norway, Trevor. One of the things they were saying was women's football really is thriving in the Scandinavian countries. I know, I think Louise had a history at Piemont United, but she was making the point that we need to work on the women's game here in Ireland, and she doesn't see any reason why we couldn't bring it up to the standards of the likes of Eskilstuna and other countries like Norway and that. And, you know, we've seen a lot of the women go to Arsenal as well.
Yeah, I mean, I think definitely the, you know, the women's sport in general in Ireland, I mean, you know, and just to switch codes for a second, but we've seen that the success of the women's rugby team and how, you know, it can go mainstream and people can be very can buy into it, and which is great. I mean, the fact that the you know, the Irish internationals for the women team are on RT, this just, you know, it's a stark contrast to maybe 2-3 years ago when people didn't have the interest. And so I suppose it's a mixture of, you know, the success that kind of, you know, gets people interested in it. And I think, you know, we saw it earlier on in the season when with extra time and their coverage of the women's national league, which, you know, it's fantastic, and they're really trying to build the profile of it. And, you know, I think, you know, players like Louise making the, you know, and it's a brave decision to go to Scandinavia. You know, it's not like going to England where, you know, you're surrounded by, you know, English speaking players. I mean, you're in a, you know, dare I say it, but a foreign country. I don't want to sound like Ian Rush comparing England to Ireland, but
yeah,
you know, you are in a foreign country where it is very different. So she has to be admired for kind of making that brave step. And, you know, and I definitely think, yes, Ireland can learn from it. And, you know, if the focus and the infrastructure is put in place, but I suppose, you know, the FAI, they have to probably focus on getting the men's league right first, or, you know, maybe they can use the women's league as a model and let that be the benchmark for the men's game.
Indeed. I'd agree with you there, Trevor. I think the women have been absolutely fantastic. I remember watching Noel King's youth ladies team in the World Cup, losing out, I think it was, to Japan, but it was fantastic. They really are a model to Irish football. There's no doubt about that. Graham, two other big awards that were given out was, of course, the three International Goal of the Year, scored by Shane Long of Hull City. That cracking goal against England, Seamus Coleman put it perfectly on his head, and Joe Hart, no chance. And of course, the Young International Player of the Year is, of course, his teammate, James McCarthy of Everton. Young International Player of the Year, I think this is his second year in a row of winning that prize. Two players that I think a lot of people will say are the future of this team, or the present of this team, really. These are the ones that are going to make a real claim now going forward.
Oh, fully agree. Like you said about Seamus Coleman, could get the senior award next year. James McCarthy could easily get it as well. He's had a fantastic start to the Everton game, and if you talk to Everton fans, they fully rate him. They rate him ahead of Gareth Bertie and all. So I think this is a massive year from in club level and international level. And with Shane Long's goal, obviously, against England, it was a deserved award for him.
It was, I suppose there was a little bit of extra incentive, the fact that there was, I think, 20,000 Irish in Wembley that night. Yeah. And he got to run over to them, and he really enjoyed it.
Yes, oh, definitely, most definitely. It was, I'd say it was one of the highlight goals. And he actually took the header quite well, because he has a great jump on him, and he can outrun most centre-halves. And once the ball's put in perfectly from Seamus Coleman, there was no stopping it.
Yeah,
Joe Hart had no chance of getting it.
In between Phil Jagielka and Gary Cahill, and people don't realise how good of a leap that Shane Long has. It's a terrific spring. Trevor, to turn matters back home, the Airtricity League Player of the Year was Killian Brennan of St. Patrick's Athletic. A fantastic lad, a fantastic chatty lad. He seemed to be a good character altogether, but his performances in the League of Ireland last year proved a real driving force to Pat's winning the title.
It was just his performances were just at a different level. I mean, he'd struggled at Shamrock Rovers season before, but just last season, he just seemed to reach a different level. And, you know, especially when you beat off the challenge of kind of Richie Toole, who's kind of one of the League of Ireland stars, maybe tipped for...
Exactly. I think a lot of people thought that Richie Toole was certainly had a real chance there.
Yeah, and, you know, he's probably definitely one to keep an eye on. But I think Brennan is probably... He's probably an example of someone that has, you know, whereas, you know, Toole's had his chance in England and he's come back. You know, Brennan is kind of, you know, he's been with Derry Bowes, you know, Shamrock Rovers. So, I mean, he's been around the league for a long time and he's always been highly rated wherever he's played. So it's probably, you know, it's good to see a player like that who's given his all to the league getting rewarded, you know, at an individual level and getting his hand on titles as well, you know.
Yeah, so many Brennans around the league as well. It's crazy. Graham, the Hall of Fame award went to Ronnie Whelan, and I think what was really funny was the fact that every time he says he does an interview these days, people ask him about his fantastic shinned goal against the USSR, but a terrific model for Ireland. He had a great career as well at Liverpool.
Oh, well, definitely. Ireland would love to have a player like him playing for them at the moment. He's a true gentleman. I've met him a couple of times as it is, and he's always full of chat. He never shies away. I've been at a couple of FII events with him, and he's always had time for the fans. It was great that he got inducted into the Hall of Fame.
Brilliant, all right. And what about that goal against the USSR? Is that probably one of the best goals we've ever scored at a major championship?
Really, yeah, the most important goal anyway. Well, he said it was lucky he came off his chin, but once the ball goes in the back of the net, doesn't make a difference how it happens.
Indeed. And International Personality Award, Graham, went to Dejan Stankovic. Some nice goals by him throughout his career, and particularly one of the things that I thought was interesting was he scored some fantastic goals against Ireland for Yugoslavia back in the day, and a great personality as well, although he did need to have the translator, which is always a bit of crack.
Yeah, but you picked on the highlight reels a few goals against Ireland. I think it went down to about 7 fans. But yeah, no, he was truly, truly deserved of his award, and he was a fantastic player.
Indeed. And just before we go, I have to mention a couple of other awards. The Special Merit Award went to Kira Grant of Reading. 102 Ireland caps. Fantastic contribution to Irish soccer. Really, really remarkable. The Under-21 International Player of the Year, Trevor, actually went to Sean Murray of Watford. We're going to be talking about the 21s later on the show, but a young, terrific talent. Week in, week out for Watford. I know the Watford fans, they're really excited about Sean. He's done really well for them. He's got to be a future Irish player, in senior player.
Definitely. I mean, he's very, very highly rated. I mean, he's had Watford obviously made a stunning start to the season. They've kind of faded off a bit. But you know, Murray has kind of kept up those performances, and I think he's got 3 league goals, 1 assist, which is, you know, for a young player in the Championship, I mean, that's a, you know, fantastic return in 28 games. You know, he's definitely one that can, you know, make them step up. And I definitely think the under-19 international, Pierce Sweeney as well, he's one to keep an eye on. I remember going down to Wexford a couple of years ago to see an Ireland representative team, League of Ireland, kind of our, you know, development team play Wales, and he looked really good on the night, and he signed for Reading shortly after, and he seems to be making great progress. I mean,
yeah, he's making great strides at Reading. It really is great to see. He's strong, kind of physical type player, but he can get the ball down and pass it as well. Under-19's Women's International Player of the Year was Claire Shine from Raheny United. Under-17 International Player of the Year was Jack Byrne of Manchester City. And I'll put this to Graham. I've read a lot of articles about this guy. I know Patrick Vieira, who coaches the youths there at Man City, have been hugely impressed. Jack Byrne has been dominating their European games. I think he's been their captain as well. The only thing is, I think it's fair to say, Graham, we need these players to make that step. We're always a little bit afraid of losing out.
Oh, most definitely. I think players like Jack can make the step up into the international senior team. I think with Roy and Martin at the helm, that they will give players that chance. I know they were hoping to bring up a couple under-21s to the squad for this game, but obviously with 21s playing tonight against Montenegro, they couldn't do that.
Sure.
So I'm sure that the manager will give these players the opportunity.
It would be great to see going forward in the future. Under-17's International Player of the Year was Savannah McCarthy of Listowel Celtic. Under-16's International Player of the Year, Robert Duggan. Junior International was Paul Breen. Intermediate Player of the Year was Malachy McDermott. Football for All International Player of the Year was Noel O'Donnell. He was on the Irish Deaf football team. Terrific stuff altogether. FAI's School International Player of the Year was Alan Brown of Preston North End. And just before I let you go, Trevor, it was terrific to see all these guys getting the recognition, and what kind of what the FAI do here. They have the likes of Shane Long, Glenn Whelan, and that the senior players giving out the awards. That's got to be hugely motivating for them.
Oh, definitely. I mean, I can imagine it. You know, if you're you know, 15, 16 year old picking up your International Player of the Year, and you get it from, you know, somebody who's been there and done it all. I mean, you know, definitely better than getting the award itself. You know, you know, because you're meeting heroes and you're mingling with heroes, and you know, it's great. I mean, it's fantastic for these guys, and it's, to be honest, I mean, it's award ceremonies can, you know, they're sometimes, you know, can be described as, you know, token awards, but I think the Irish one, it always seems to be something that captures the imagination. And I mean, you said at the start of the show, journalists love it, and they do, but I think the fans really like it, and it seems that the players do too. I mean, there's not too many award ceremonies, you know, just where you see somebody, you know, with a, you know, a little surfboard or at the back of their
Indeed.
Feet and a pair of shorts on them, you know. So it's kind of, it's acknowledging that the progress these guys are making, the success, but, you know, it's obviously, you know, having a bit of fun too. And I think it's great. I think it's great for Irish football.
Okay. And just before I let you go, lads, I'm going to ask your quick predictions for the Serbia friendly tomorrow night. I'll come to yourself, Graham, first. Is it going to be another win for Martin O'Neill's charges? Serbia, of course, stiff off position. What would you say the scoreline's going to be?
You reckon the scoreline could be 2-0 or even 2-1. I think the players that Ireland will have in their field will maybe be more creative for their midfield. I think there'll be plenty of chances for the Irish team. So hopefully we can keep clean sheets, but you're going for 2-0 at the moment.
Okay, no problem yourself. And yourself, Trevor, what do you think it's going to be?
We've had 0-0, we've had 1-1. I don't know if I share the optimism of a clean sheet. I could say 2-2 for progress, but I think we'll see an Irish win. I mean, you know, it'll be interesting to see if the likes of, you know, Kolarov and Ivanisevic and even Tosic, you know,
Matic
included
dog,
for Serbia.
Yeah.
If they're all named, I mean, you'd fancy a goal in Serbia. If they're not, you would surely hope that the Irish would be too strong. So I'm going to go for 2-1.
My thanks there to Trevor Keane and Graham Jago. Thanks a million for joining us on the Why Big Football Show. I hope to do it again with you guys very, very soon.
You're listening to the Why Big Football Show on Freak FM. Get involved with the show. Email dave@talkingsport.org. That's dave@talkingsport.org. We're also on Twitter and on Facebook. Chat to you soon.
Welcome back to the Why Big Football Show. Yes, indeed, we had two very optimistic Irish journalists there for how we're going to do against Serbia. And I want to turn our attention to that now. And I'm delighted to be joined by Ronan Murphy of Goal Ireland and Kieran Casey, writer for Sports Business U. Kieran, thanks for joining me for the first time on the Why Big Football Show. I read a couple of your articles, very good stuff indeed. You did a recent one about David Beckham for Sports Business U and the global brand that he brings across the world, really.
That's it. Yeah, thanks for having me on, Dave. I did one on David Beckham and his global impact, mainly looking at how he was the first player with jersey sales and merchandising. For example, where he went to Real Madrid and he outsold Figo and Zidane and all the other Galacticos in terms of jersey sales. It was something like 26 million or something he brought into the club. And I was sort of looking at that and his career.
Really terrific read it was indeed. Hopefully we'd love to see an Irish player have that kind of market. I don't think it'll happen for a long time, but you never know. there's a new dawn as every Irish football book turns a new chapter. Ronan, Serbia, the last two meetings were bore draws, it's probably fair to say. I remember that Croke Park day where it was Trapattoni's first game in charge for Ireland and Andy Keogh rescued the blushes with a cracking goal. I think that won one of the FAI awards goal of the season. And in the second match we played them away and it was pretty dour as well under Trapattoni. It was good to see Joey O'Brien back in the away leg, but hopefully Martin and Roy have something more tasty on the menu this time round.
Yeah, you'd hope so anyway, but I'm not sure if we might find a new Andy Keogh on Wednesday night. Maybe he'll Martin and Roy will find some player to come up with a late goal like that and then stick with them through thick and thin for the next couple of years, a bit like Trap with Keogh. Play him out of position or something, and we'll see how we get on then. But I know it should be an interesting game. A lot of players, I suppose, it'll be that friendly atmosphere because they have their mindset on the league. If you look at say the City back Kolarov and the Chelsea back Ivanovic, they'll be hoping that they're not going to get injured because they have a title race to contend with, and the same with Matic in midfield. So the Premier League stars that Irish fans will have their eyes on, they probably won't give the full 100%. And I can imagine some of the veteran Irish players probably going to be the same. So maybe it'll be an opportunity for some of the younger guys to make a name for themselves, especially with the qualifiers starting in September.
Kieran, Serbia are quite like ourselves. They're not going to the World Cup. They're kind of between jobs, or between managers at least at the moment. They have Ljubinko Drulovic. He's a caretaker manager for the moment, but a lot of the players will be looking to stake a claim. Will they be coming to Dublin with a point to prove?
I think they will, yeah. I was just looking through their team sheet here, and like, there's a couple of familiar names, I'm sure, for your listeners. You know, the likes of Kolarov at Man City, Ivanovic, Chelsea. A player that I was interested in looking at is Tosic. He actually plays for CSKA Moscow, and some Man United fans might remember that he played with Man United only sort of for one season. He was meant to be sort of the new saviour of the left wing, but that never sort of materialised. But they do have a bit of talent in their team, like, and I think they will be quite competitive actually on tomorrow night.
That's a serious worry, Ronan. The fact that we're going up against Serbia, a team that maybe we think we're on par with, maybe that's the reason why the FAI arranged the friendly. They wanted a good challenge. They've become quite close to the Serbian FA, I know, over the past few years, maintaining good relations. But as Kieran says, the likes of Matic, Kolarov, Ivanovic, all playing at top clubs. And he mentioned Tosic as well. We don't have players at top clubs. That's the fact. That's the reality. We shouldn't be in the same playground as Serbia.
Well, perhaps Everton might be a top club by the end of the season, so we'll have
three or four. Here's hoping, fingers crossed, touch wood, yeah.
Yeah, but Serbia do have some big names, and just looking through the squad list itself, they have players playing for top teams throughout Europe. Half the midfield plays for Benfica, while there's an Italian contingent there, Burkic in goal for Udinese. I'd say he should start against us. But Lagic, I think, is how you pronounce it. I'm not 100% sure there. The Roma player, he's just recalled after exile. I think he had a falling out with the previous manager. So he'll probably get a chance in midfield as well. And he's only 22 or 23, so he's definitely one to look out for. So there's plenty of strength in the Serbia's team, and they were one of the third seeds for the Euro draw, and I think we were quite lucky to miss them, and I think Poland might actually offer less than Serbia are going to offer.
I'm a little bit surprised, Ronan, that Serbia weren't a real power when they were joined up with Montenegro for all those years in football. The two countries seem to be really standing up now in Europe, and it's remarkable the players that have spread across. You know, why do you think it is only now that we're starting to take notice?
Well, I suppose the wars in the 90s kind of had a major impact on any football development that they might have had. But even looking at Croatia, and we know them well from Euro 2012, the talent that they have in their squad, just the former Yugoslavians, they have loads of excellent players. Even Bosnia are good on the scene these days, and sure they'll be there and we won't in the summer. So it'll be an interesting enough one. So there's so much talent in there, and I suppose we're trying to take the best talent from Northern Ireland now and then, so it's a bit like that.
Let's not go there, because that'll just get us started. Kieran, to come to yourself, Serbia also have a pretty horrible group in the European qualifiers. No doubt, though, Roy Keane and Martin O'Neill, they'll be hoping that our squad, with the players that are available, I think it's the first time in a long time where we haven't had an influx of injuries when the squad has been announced, particularly for a friendly. I know Andy Reid was ruled out not because he got injured in a tackle. I know he had missed 1 or 2 weeks for a niggling thing, but he's actually getting an operation, as far as I know, and it was better for him doing it during this period, because it'll mean he'll be available for a lot longer and he'll sort a lot more problems out that way. We still have a good contingent of players there.
I think we do, yeah. Again, looking through our team, like, not to be too hard on ourselves, but as I suppose you could take a reserve team, for want of a better word, with the team we have out tomorrow, like Ford in goal, Kelly, St. Ledger, Wilson and Ward across the back, and then Walters, McCarthy, Green, McGeady and Stokes and Long up front. Like, that's quite a balanced team. Like, on paper, that could be very competitive, I feel like. Like, Green in midfield, okay, is probably a weak link. But we do have a good bit of balance in that team as a second string. Like.
Yeah, Ronan, we've got the likes of Myler, he's a tough nut who can take a headbutt.
David, he always was a hard goer. I think he set the Premier League record for the most distance covered a match there a couple of years ago. So he's always one player that tries his hardest. And if he does get the nod in midfield, you're going to get a decent display defensively, and maybe he might even add a little to the attacking impetus of the team.
He hasn't been available for a long time due to injuries. He always seemed to be getting injured and, you know, get a kick or something before an Irish squad was announced. But, you know, he's put a huge amount of serious injuries behind him, and it's great to see him now being able to kick on. And it's one area of the pitch where we haven't had tall players has been the midfield. It'll make us be more competitive on a more physical level, maybe, Ronan.
Yeah, I would definitely agree with that point. And especially it'll be useful having a tall player in midfield to win any high balls that even in the Trapattoni era, we were playing high balls into midfield to kick out straight from the goalkeeper. So we lost more than 50% of them because we didn't have the strong player in midfield to challenge for. So someone like Myler will definitely do the job, especially if he's with a tough tackler like Glenn Whelan in midfield. He's definitely going to be able to compete on a strength level or a physical level as much as anything else.
Kieran, it was to every Irish fan's relief to see Wes Houlihan finally get a start for Norwich, and he really kind of proved a point. He scored very early in the Villa game, and as they said on Match of the Day, he was the only good thing to come out of Norwich that day in a heavy defeat to Villa.
Yeah, no, he is a real talent, and he probably was completely overlooked by the last management team, and like, it's great that he isn't included under Martin O'Neill and Roy Keane. Like, and like, people have been sort of singing his praises in the Premier League for a long time, so it's great to see him in there.
Is it fair to say that if he starts, that could be a view to what Martin O'Neill and Roy Keane have in store for this Irish team. If they were to, say, drop a striker and put him in a kind of a holding free roll in behind the striker.
Yeah, potentially, like, that'd be great to see an attack-minded approach. Like, you know, Ronan sort of alluded to, like, the long ball and having someone tall in midfield. But, like, if we have that balance, I think, you know, why couldn't we have a go, especially in the friendly, like, and sort of see if it does work, the attacking platform playing in behind, like.
Striking is a serious area for us, Ronan. We don't have Robbie Keane for this friendly, but Shane Long has said he needs to stand up and take his chance, when in fact he's been doing quite well since his move to Hull City. We've also got Daryl Murphy, who got a call up there. He's been scoring a couple of goals for Ipswich. He seemed to disappear off the boil there for quite a few years, but things have started to go well for Daryl.
It's great to see Daryl back in the squad, especially given the form he has it with Ipswich at the moment. Mick McCarthy's side wouldn't be anywhere near challenging for the playoffs without his goals up front. He's having a fantastic season, but I don't think he'll get the start. As you said, Shane Long has a point to prove, and he really does, especially with Keane not in the squad. This is his chance to really take the chance and make the forward spot his own, because there's not many years left of Keane, so we need Long to step up and replicate his form at Hull with the national team, because he hasn't really scored as many goals as he should. He tends to waste a lot of chances. Unfortunately, he gets into good positions, but then he always seems to panic in front of goal. And if he can improve his confidence, and he looks to be, especially with Jelovic linking up with him, playing off a player like that, he's doing well. So if he can increase his confidence and then turn that into goals, it's a win-win situation for Ireland, really.
Do you think, Ronan, what Kieran was saying, that the team that we see tomorrow night will echo Martin O'Neill's view for Ireland, in the sense that maybe he'll drop, rather than playing two strikers, he might play a playmaker in behind one striker, or he might not play 4-4-2, it might be 4-3-3 or something like that?
I'd say, given the limited options we have anyway, he's not going to go for 4-4-2, because the four strikers were fairly barren up front. I'm not the biggest fan of Anthony Stokes, and Celtic won 5-0 at the weekend and he wasn't on the score sheet. So yeah, I'm not sure if 4-4-2 is the approach. So a lot of fans were calling out for a change in formation during the Trapattoni era. So some sort of 4-5-1 or 4-2-3-1, I'd say, is what he'll deploy. And that'll probably be the way we'll set up for most of the qualifiers, especially the two winnable games at the start against Georgia and Gibraltar. It's best to get into that sort of mindset now of playing the tactics and getting the team used to the tactics, and then for the handful of games in the summer, carry on that tradition. And then by the time the qualifiers do roll around, we'll have everyone will be in that system. And as Trapattoni used to say, it was all about the system, so they should have learned the system by then, and maybe that'll be our plan A rather than our plan B.
Kieran, do you think we will get a strike partnership develop, which might be tested tomorrow night against Serbia? Or do you think it'll be constantly mixed in? Because we've seen we never quite got it with Trapattoni. I don't really recall the last really good Irish strike partnership. Perhaps maybe when Robbie Keane was playing up front beside Damien Duff, who was a makeshift striker at the time, but still had a lot to offer. Perhaps, you know, a Long and Walters. It's kind of hard to know. Do you see us going down the road of a striking partnership?
That's true. Like, we haven't had a striking partnership in a long time. Like, yeah, Long and Walters would sort of balance each other out. Like, if he does go with Stokes and Long tomorrow, they're similar enough players in the sense that, like, you know, out and out striker. Yeah, it would be interesting. We've never really had a partnership like you said, unless you take into account like Robbie Keane and Damien Duff. Like, and that was a long time ago, and they're sort of, you know, they're past that sort of role now. Like, you know, Robbie Keane would play a bit of a different role now, but yeah, it could be something that can be looked at tomorrow night, I think.
A lot of people, Kieran, were kind of hoping, I think, down the years that Keane and Doyle would prove to be very prolific, but as it tended to work against lesser opposition, we never really did it with those two up front against the big boys.
No, that's true. Like, I suppose they never really got that run. Not that they didn't get the run in the team, but it never really materialised that they had that prolific, like, partnership. like people can remember back to sort of the heady days of the World Cup 2002 when they're probably in their prime, for want of a better word. Like, and that was the, sort of the only time when you really saw them as that sort of potent partnership. Like,
yeah, that's an interesting one. Just before I let you guys both go, Ronan, before I ask you for predictions, I want to get your view. If Ireland were to lose this match, now we did name all the quality players that Serbia do have at their disposal, and we'd love to have players like that playing week in, week out for top clubs in Europe in the Champions League and that kind of thing, but would there be a little bit of pressure on if Ireland were to lose this game? Are Irish fans, should we be really expecting to pop over Serbia casually like that?
Well, Serbia are the type of team that we should be expecting to be able to beat. And they definitely are a beatable side. They didn't qualify for the World Cup like ourselves, so there's that anyway. They're not one of the best 32 teams in the world, in theory. But it won't be a total disappointment if we do lose. I'd say most Irish fans will be happy if we keep the ball on the ground, we create chances. It's an exciting game rather than a winning game. It could be good for world rankings down the line, but I think if it helps us set up the team for the European Championship qualifiers in September, it's more important than actually putting a one in the W column for Martin O'Neill.
Yeah, I do think sometimes, though, that FIFA points matter a little bit, which is something we don't tend to pick up much of these days. Before we go, Ronan, what will be your random prediction for the match? How do you think it's going to go? What kind of scoreline?
0-0, unfortunately, I think.
Oh, dear. And make it a hat-trick of draws.
I'm thinking a 0-0. I can't see any goals. I don't have the same faith in Shane Long that some people have. Serbia have a few goal scorers in their team, but none of their squad have more than 10 goals. None of them have reached double figures yet on an international stage, so I don't think it's going to happen on Wednesday night either.
Okay, Kieran, do you share that grim view, or do you think you're going to be a little bit more optimistic?
I probably should share the view of a draw, but I'll go 1-1. I think a score draw, with us getting on the score sheet, and they probably will as well, but yeah, I'll say a 1-1 draw.
Okay, so it might be close to Trapp's first game in charge, where it was a 1-1 and we were rescued by an Andy Keogh cracking goal. Ronan Murphy and Kieran Casey, thanks a million for joining me on the Why Big Football Show.
Thanks, Dave. Cheers.
You're listening to the Why Big Football Show on Freak FM. Get involved with the show. Email dave@talkingsport.org. That's dave@talkingsport.org. We're also on Twitter and on Facebook. Chat to you soon.
I'm taking a trip to Tallaght Stadium tomorrow afternoon to watch the next generation of Irish superstars take on Montenegro in the qualifiers. It kicks off at Three Bells and it is a must win for the boys in green. It's a great opportunity to hopefully see some wonder kids like Sean Murray, Jack Grealish, Callum Riley and the likes. Noel King sees it as a stepping stone. It's fantastic altogether. I think a lot of people will agree that Montenegrin football is on the up and it's going to be a serious challenge for the Irish under-21s. Joe McCarthy, thanks a million for joining me of the Irish Abroad website. Joe, Noel King sees it as a stepping stone, but the reality is this is a must-win game for Ireland.
Definitely, yeah. I think Ireland are... The under-21s are... they're level on points with Montenegro at the moment, but they played a game more, so obviously... this is a must win to get ahead of them. Their last game is away to Germany, which you'd have to imagine, it'd be hard to get a result there. Whereas Montenegro are facing the Faroe Islands, where you'd definitely fancy them to get a win. And their game in hand is against Romania. So that could be another 3 points there. I think a win at home would put Ireland definitely in the driving seat. I think they'll still be looking for a favourable result in the Romania-Montenegro game. And they're more than likely still going to have to look to get at least a point, you have to think, against Germany. So it's going to be tough. It's going to be very tough.
Joe, we nearly nicked it away to Montenegro. I was following the coverage on UEFA's website. I was following it play by play. And whoever was typing up those little one-liner descriptions had me at the edge of my seat. He was like, there's not long left. The ball comes in. Murray into Grealish. It has to be a goal. No, it's a miss. Apparently a huge chance at the end, which would have really put us in the driving seat. But having said that, Montenegro have been playing terrific stuff in this under-21s campaign.
Yeah, and like you said, I think the Montenegrin football as a whole is on the up. They're looking to qualify for the next World Cup. They're looking to qualify for the European Championships, and I think they're looking to get a positive result in this under-21 series. Just looking through the results so far, they beat Romania 3-2 at home. They've obviously, got a 0-0 draw against ourselves. They held Germany to a draw in Podgorica. And you'd think that they're probably the favourites to finish second in the group. It's going to be tough, but I think that, Noel King's picked a strong side there. There's a lot of first team experience. Aaron McCary's a regular in goals. Sean McDermott is a regular. Sean McGinty, he's just kind of starting to find his feet again after a difficult period.
And if he can keep a cool head, Sean McGinty will be doing well.
Yeah, I think Shane Duffy is definitely earning the plaudits at Yeovil. I think he's expecting to be part of the Everton first team squad next season. He scored a lovely goal at the weekend as well. Tommy Hoban is back for Watford. Got the likes of Jeff Hendrick, who's very much part of a strong Derby side, who possibly could go up and get one of the automatic promotion spots from the Championship. And of course, you've Jack Grealish and Sean Murray on the wings, who are capable of producing absolutely anything. I think that we're possibly a little weak up front. Michael Drennan from Villa is going to be starting up front, probably alongside Aidan O'Brien from Millwall. I think there's goals in the team, but possibly not a lot of strength and depth up front. One other player I look forward to seeing is Kenneth McAvoy. He's been promoted to the under-21.
Baby Bale
from Spurs. He sat on the bench twice for Tottenham this season.
I was looking at that. It was fantastic to see an Irish player on the bench for Spurs in the Europa. It's a pity Tim Sherwood didn't use him, but at the same time, I think he was on the bench once or twice when AVB was manager in the Europa campaign.
Yeah, he had his first appearance on the bench was one of the away games in the Europa League under Villas-Boas. Unfortunately, he took until the recent away game against Dnipro before he made his second appearance on the bench. And the rumour was that he actually was going to make an appearance. I think it was a late injury scuppered his chances. He was included in the match day squad. He was included in the extended squad for the Hull game. And he posted a picture on Instagram of his first Premier League jersey with his name and his Premier League tags. But unfortunately, he didn't make the match day 16. I think Sherwood, I think one of the stamps that he's put on the squad is the number of youth players that he hasn't been afraid to to give their debuts to and to build a team around. So I would hope that he would give McAvoy a chance before the end of the season, and we can just show us what he can do. The Montenegro game, I think he'd get a run out. I don't think he'd start, but I'd hope to see him play.
Okay, that's an interesting one. James, Joe raffled off a load of quality names and players that we hope are going to be the next big thing in green. The likes of Kenny McAvoy, as he said, Sean Murray, the superstar at Watford, Jack Grealish, who's running the show at Notts County, and even a lot of Notts County journalists and media people are making the point that when you have quality players coming down, like Jack Grealish coming down to League One, he gets targeted by the whole league and everybody wants to kick lumps off him, but he seems to be rising to the challenge. Jeff Hendrick, the huge amount of experience at such a young age, playing week in, week out Derby County, came back terrifically from an injury. Tommy Hoban, again from Watford, had been playing week in, week out, got injured, now he's back playing in the Watford side and back in the Irish under-21 side. There's exciting players on show for Ireland, James.
There really is, David. To speak about Martin O'Neill, when he first took the job, he spoke about he'd love to unearth an 18 or a 19 year old who was going to light the world on fire. And I was a little bit disappointed when he named the Serbia squad, that he made the point that this teenager hasn't jumped out, that this teenager isn't out there. Because I would have thought, maybe if he looked a little bit closer at this under-21s, like you talk about Grealish. Grealish is 18. He's playing first team with Notts County. We mentioned Mikey Drennan there, who's from my neck of the woods in Kilkenny. Mikey was the top scorer with Villa in the Next Gen series. He got a very bad injury. Came back from that. He was on loan for a month at Carlisle and was sent out on loan again to Portsmouth. Scored on his debut. He's another teenager, Kenny McAvoy. So there's good guys there that, you know, I'd like to hope he's leaving them to the under-21s because they've got a great chance of a qualification. And perhaps then he's going to look at them in the summer or look at guys and I hope, heaven forbid, they don't progress, but then he's going to call these guys up to the senior team. So I was slightly disappointed that Martin O'Neill made that remark, and I'd like maybe these guys to step up and have a point to prove.
There's huge talk over Jack Grealish and the unique talent that he does have, James.
He scored again 2 weeks ago, Dave, and I saw over the weekend, because Notts County got thumped at the weekend, and he was quite active on social media, and he came out and apologised, and I think he got a bit of flack, and he said, I care about Notts County. I want to go back to Villa, but I want Notts County to, you know, progress. I want them to leave them in a better place. That shows great maturity and a great attitude.
And of course, he did it again. He did it for the Irish under-21s the last time he played, getting on the score sheet as well. It's got to be great in that regard. Sean Murray, Watford, he picked up the FAI's under-21 player of the year award. Terrific to see him do that. He's another one that a lot of people say Premier League clubs have been sniffing about.
Yeah, there's players there. We've talked about, as you said, like Hendrick has got a little bit, he's got some experience already with the Irish first team. I spoke to a Derby County fan who said they're very impressed with Hendrick, that he tends to get on in most games if off the bench. So, you know, we spoke plenty of times about how the under-21s performed over the previous decade, really, under the previous manager, Don Givens. And they were shambolic, Dave.
Yeah.
So, you know, we're talking about them in a positive light. And what's good about this, and if I hope to God they do go and qualify, is that Noel King came in for an awful lot of criticism when he stepped up as the interim boss. And I'd like him, this is where Noel King really earns his corn, is at this level and bringing these players through.
It's his one-to-one personal touch, James, isn't it?
Even the senior players said he was excellent when he came in. They enjoyed training. He was a breath of fresh air. Now, we know he probably let himself down in selection, and you can go on about the interview or whatever, but this is his bread and butter, and they're in with a chance of qualification, and he's grooming players for the first team. And if they do come through, it'll be a lot of credit will go to Noel King.
Okay, credit to King, no doubt about that. Joe, very quickly, the move to Tallaght Stadium for this match, do you think that's going to have any bearing on proceedings? Of course, Sligo Rovers ground had been the real home for the Irish under-21s. Disappointing that it's not there, but maybe the fact that it's in Tallaght allows them to go to watch the senior game after.
Yeah, I hope to see some of the players in the crowd on Wednesday night. You know, I mean, it could be some inspiration for them to push on, make the step up to the senior team. I know that there's been some promotions run around Tallaght for tickets for the game, so I think that there's going to be a good crowd at it. I like Tallaght Stadium, actually. I think it's absolutely a wonderful place to watch football, and presume it's a great place for the players as well. Unfortunately, I never made it up to Sligo, so I can't really compare. I saw some of the games online and some of in highlight packages, and I think they did seem to have a good following from the under-21 side, or for some of the other underage games as well. I think probably the biggest drawback is the timing of it. It's at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. I know that if it was a bit later, or on Tuesday or Thursday, then I'd definitely be making the the trip up. But
a lot of people will be in work following the UEFA website looking for updates.
Yeah, that's how I think I'll be taking the game.
Or some dodgy German streaming, which I will hold my hands up, I'm guilty of myself.
I don't think you'll be the only one there, Dave. I'm a little disappointed, as I say, with the time. But I'm looking forward to the game, and I'm looking forward to some of the players showing what they can do against Montenegro. I think I'm looking for a positive result, and I definitely think we're capable of it.
And soft goals, we got to stamp out the soft goals. It's something that has haunted us in this campaign. There's no doubt about that, Joe.
Yeah, definitely. I think the 1-0 loss against Romania cost us badly, especially at home. You know, in Sligo, especially after getting the 0-0 away from home was a very much a positive result, and I thought that we were going to get another. You know, I thought we were going to get a win possibly against them. But unfortunately, it wasn't meant to be. It was a late goal that finally did us in. You know, not late, but second half, and didn't really do ourselves justice. I think there was a lot of good play in the team. There's a lot of good players on show, but just couldn't seem to get the equaliser.
Yeah, a little disappointing to say the least. Just, lads, before we leave the under-21s, we wish Noel King and the boys the very best of luck. I'll be there, and hopefully it will be putting us in a very good mood going into the senior friendly against Serbia. James, predictions for the match. Do you think we can do as Joe said and beat Montenegro, playing a good brand of football and keeping ourselves well in the hunt for qualification?
Well, no matter what level you're at, you'd say the same with the senior team. If you want any hope qualifying, you have to win at home. So that's it, Dave. You just have to win and go for it in that frame of mind. As you said at the start, it's a must-win game to go into the Germany game with something to play for. So it's in their own hands.
Joe, prediction?
I'm going to go for a 2-1 win to Ireland.
2-1 win, oh, that would be quite nervous but good at the same time. We wish them the very best of luck. Exciting stuff. 3:00, Tala, be there. Airtricity League now, lads, and the league is about to get underway. It's some exciting stuff. We've had the President's Cup with St. Patrick's Athletic coming out on top with a fantastic strike by Keith Fahey. Really remarkable, him getting a little bit annoyed at a couple of questions about linking him to the Ireland Irish team, which he kind of wanted to distance himself from a little bit, which is very fair enough. But Joe, I think we're in for a better league this year. I think it's going to be more exciting than ever before. We've got players like Fahey back in it, the likes of Richie Towell and Sean Maguire back from West Ham. And coming back to play football in Ireland is Stephen McPhail, a terrific career for a terrific player. There's going to be a lot of stories to be wrote about the league this year.
I think so. I think last season was definitely a season of consolidation. And I think that the comments from the management at senior international level as well, that they'll be looking for players from the National League to make the step up to the international squad. It can only help to raise the profile of it. I was a little disappointed that the President's Cup game at the weekend wasn't televised, and only more so then when I did see the winning goal from Keith Fahey, a wonderful volley from outside the area. I think that's The league is, as I say, improving over the last few seasons. I'd hope to see maybe one or two players into the senior international squad, which will, again, help to raise the profile of the league. I think the players that are returning from England, you know, you've mentioned Stephen McPhail there, Keith Fahey, and Sean Maguire has returned to Sligo to get experience on loan from West Ham. You know, he'd won appearance on the bench there in January in an FA Cup game. So he's obviously in the manager's thoughts.
Yeah, great club to go to though on loan, Joe.
I definitely think so. You know, they have a strong tradition of attacking, intelligent, creative football at Sligo, and I think he'll be a success there. But hopefully that'll help him to step up at West Ham. You know, next season. I think that the players that are coming back, I think I've shown this. You know, just because things don't work out across the water for whatever reason, doesn't mean you can't still have a career in football. You take what you've learned, you know, apply it here, and have a career and make a living out of it. I think Richie Towell is probably another great example that you mentioned there. You know, things didn't work out for him in Celtic and at Hibs, but he's come back and, you know, he's probably one of the top players in the league here. And, you know, there's, he's been attracting glances again from across the water. So it's all positive. I'm looking forward to Limerick's first game this weekend against Bray Wanderers. Hopefully we can have a good start to the season and start pushing up the table.
Yeah, good to see them back in Thomond Park. They're really making that a home for themselves at the moment. James, as Joe was saying, there's a good chance. It's great to see so many players coming back and quality. They'll bring a lot of interest to the League of Ireland. Of course, the champions, St. Patrick's Athletic, they'll get their league campaign off away to Cork City. We'll have something to say about that, I can tell you, at Turner's Cross. You have the loud derby in Hunky Dory's Park to kick things off. As Joe mentioned, Limerick at home to Bray, UCD and Bowes, Shamrock Rovers, Derry City. You've got Ruddy Collins involved there. And Sligo Rovers on the Saturday will be at home to Athlone Town. Athlone back at the table with the big boys. There's so many stories there. It's wonderful, and I think there's going to be more excitement than ever before. Hopefully, James, hopefully.
There's loads of stories there, Dave, and I hope we hear about them, and I hope they get out into the, I hope they get beyond the League of Ireland crowd and you know, make headlines. As you said, a little one like Athlone, they're the oldest club in Ireland, I believe. Back in the Premier Division, that's a story. Roddy Collins left them, and there was a whole controversy about him leaving Athlone, that he didn't know he was being sacked or whatever. You talk about a Brian McDermott story, we have the same thing here.
A tweet coming out, and he said, this is the first I've heard about it.
Yeah, but it's all drama, and the Rod squad is up in Derry now. Wherever Roddy goes, his box office, so he'll have to take on Athlone in the league. And going back to champions Pats, I think Keith Fahey's a bit irked about being talked up with Ireland, and Martin O'Neill was watching him. But that's because people are a little bit desperate to make those headlines and to make that connection. But it's there. I've seen him referred to him myself as Irish international. Keith Fahey scored the winner at the weekend, and that's what he is, or that's what he was. And people will be saying he'll be knocking on the door again. So he doesn't want people talking about it, but people are going to do it because they want to make headlines. So he can do his talking on the pitch, and who knows after that. As you said, a great week to start with the loud derby. So I always look forward to this, to League of Ireland kickoff. As we spoke about the last time, it'd be nice if we heard about it in outside the League of Ireland circles.
I think a lot of people will agree with you there, and we'll do what we can on the Why Big Football Show to keep the momentum going. I love hearing the likes of Roddy and passionate people about the league go on, talk so highly of it, and even though they're well aware of the difficulties that it faces, there's always positives and always great energy you can get out of them. It's going to be an exciting league. I'm thrilled about it for sure. The kickoffs times are 7:45 on Friday. There's a 8 o'clock kickoff, Shamrock Rovers against Derry and Talla at 8 o'clock. On Saturday, 7:45, Sligo Rovers taking on Athlone Town in the showground. So if you're at any of those grounds, get down to them, get out and support your local team. And that's where we leave it on the Why Big Football Show. I'd like to thank all my guests for joining me on it. Best of luck to the boys in green, the under-21s and the senior squad in taking on Serbia in a friendly. The under-21s, of course, that crucial qualifier against Montenegro in Talla Stadium. We'll do it all again next week at 10 o'clock on Tuesday on Freak FM. For myself, Dave O'Grady, have a very good evening.